few sermons ago, I talked a little bit about my experiences at paratrooper training school. It was one of the most challenging month and a half in my entire life. I was physically, mentally, and psychologically abused by the directing staff, pushed to my limits with all sorts of devices, pushed and then beyond. And that was before any of us got anywhere near to an airplane to jump up. Looking back, it was scary, exhilarating, exhausting, and for me personally, painful, because I severely sprained my ankle on my second of six jumps that were required, but made it. And I gotta tell you, standing there in rank and file with crutches, getting those wings pinned on my chest was one of the proudest moments in my life. But then a few years later, some Canadian military commission decided to outlaw all the hazing that goes on in paratrooper school, all the physical punishment that were doled out, all the things that made it hell on earth. And there were a lot of people that screamed outrage that had their wings. And I found myself one of them. Like, how dare they make it easier? They should make it harder for anybody else to get in, right? Maybe human nature, and everywhere, and every sort of club. But sometimes I think that attitude also finds itself away into the church. This Lent, we're looking at Pharisees. And not just as the bad guys of the gospel that always seem to be arguing with Jesus and conspiring to bring about his death, but the Pharisee within each of us. How often we resemble parts and aspects of who they are. And I pointed out that the Pharisees in Jesus' day were really, honestly, very good people. Maybe the best people there were. They were respected and admired. They knew their scriptures inside and out and always sought to help other people. Unfortunately, most of their prominent ways of helping others was by stressing the law. And mostly doing that by enforcing a bewildering array of man-made regulations that they imposed on other people to help them obey the law too. See, here was their philosophy. The Pharisees figured, and they were taught, that if there was only 1 second when every single individual, the people of Israel, was obedient, just 1 second, if everyone else, the kingdom would come, the Messiah would arrive. So they had to get everybody on the same page being perfect just for an instant. You can sense how frustrating that would be. There are people that resist being perfect. They resist what they're saying. They desperately tried to get everyone else in line. And eventually, they found themselves better off just saying, so-and-so doesn't really belong. And you find, occasionally in the gospel, the phrase, people were kicked out of the synagogue. That's an idea of being exclusive. Exclusivity, say, that somehow we make ourselves better and stronger by getting rid of the lower people that are kind of making it worse. That we restrict the number of who can be a part to make us stronger. And at first glance, that does seem to think to be exactly what Jesus is saying in the gospel lesson, right? That he's advocating a no pain, no gain kind of theology. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. And we just read that and simply assume that we got to raise the bar of what it takes to be a true Christian instead of just normal. So we pile on heavier and heavier burdens and call that discipleship. We slam the door on the weak and the confused and the suffering and call that fortifying the church. We demand sacrifice, toil, sweat, struggle. And if not, you're out. And maybe it's even more subtle. If you're one of those that always abhor change and everything has to be the exact way it was in your church as it was 50, 100 years ago, Or if you're one of those on the other side, it has to come to be entertained with certain music and programs, or you're going somewhere else. Or if you're one of those who just thinks that it's okay to show up for 1 hour on a Sunday and not do anything about your faith the rest of the week, if you're one of those people, you better go to some place that has lower standards than we do. Now I realize that this facet of being a Pharisee is probably more an issue with pastors and church bodies than the lay. And I gotta admit, there's no shortage of pronouncements from St. Louis that I get, usually detailing who isn't allowed to do certain things, or who can't be a part of this, or who has to be restricted from fellowship for this reason. But I think we all fall prey to that exclusivity at one time or another. We have certain expectations, idiosyncrasies, pet peeves about church. We can't just let anyone join, right? We can't just let anybody who walks in feel they belong. They gotta jump through some hoops or some cords, right? Well, that brings up an interesting point. Maybe we sort of do. At the end of February, every year, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod demands the statistical report from every one of its congregations. So, it's fresh on my mind, because I had to have this all finished on Friday. Everyone who's a member or not, communicant, baptized, the demographic breakdown of ages, who shows up at Sunday school, who doesn't, Bibles, all these stats have to be in there. So this is fresh on my mind. And it's really hard sometimes, because it doesn't always fit nicely. People don't always fit nicely in those categories. And last year at a pastoral circuit meeting, I made the comment that here at Good Shepherd, we're kind of fuzzy about the membership thing. You got partners, so we kind of like to make allowances. I mean, there's flock talk that we have regularly, and I really want people to go, but very few people actually do. We have this handshake ritual, we welcome people once, and then there's official transfers we get from people from other churches, but mostly, we have a lot of people that just keep showing up without signing up. And so I said, I'm not even sure who thinks they're a member or not around my place. Gosh, was I taking the task. This other guy comes up and goes, how dare you do that? In my church, everyone knows. In my church, they have to take my 6-week class, they have to sign the Constitution, and they have to submit a pledge card for the next coming year. And if they don't, they're not members no matter what they think. I wasn't sure, I just nodded. Because I don't see Jesus doing that. I don't see him trying to weed out the weak or prune the dead wood or raise the bar. In fact, the incarnation, when you think about it, is the exact opposite. It's God lowering his standards to become human and be a part of our world. Christ came to open up the kingdom of heaven to all people, to show that God so loves the world, he brings salvation to the very people who feel the most excluded. He didn't come to filter out the losers. He came to turn losers and lollygaggers and longtime enemies into full-fledged, grace-infused sons and daughters of God. Everything about his ministry was about making salvation more acceptable, not less. I mean, his disciples, they didn't take an entrance exam. In no way, shape, or form were they part of the spiritual elite of that world. They were just guys who said yes to Jesus' invitation. And the crowds had gathered around him. Always there are these crowds, but they're probably no different than any other crowd that gathers any other time in history. There were people that were really sincere and wanted to find out, but they were filled with people who were there for all the wrong reasons. And maybe Jesus' crowds were even worse, because we're told he hangs around with all these sinners and people. They're filled with the dregs of society, tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners of every way, shape, or form, and people who could care less about following rules. I mean, the Pharisees may have hated Jesus, but they hated the company he kept just as much. And the fact that he didn't shoo them away, well, probably hated that even more. So in the gospel lesson, all that talk about taking up crosses, denying yourself, losing your life, Jesus isn't setting goals to reach. He's saying that those very things are what unite us. It's not thinning the herd, it's expanding the flock. And I think that's why Jesus makes such a point of gathering the disciples with the crowds to say that. So there would be no mistake that they were and we are all in this together, come good or woe. He's inviting everyone to be part of a deeper commitment. Not so that they don't get kicked out, but so they get a kick out of what they're doing. To take the next step. To ratchet things up a notch. It's kind of like a video game. The entrance level are easy. And what happens when you succeed in that? You go to a deeper level where it's really a lot more tougher. More fun. And when you finish that level, you go deeper still. That's what makes it an enjoyable process. Isn't the church that way? It's part of our mission statement. Be one, and then be wanting more. That we're excited to follow Jesus wherever he goes. That we're eager for whatever comes next. And that we are never ashamed, not of Jesus, not of the company he keeps. Now that doesn't mean there won't be a day of judgment, a reckoning day, when we're all held to account. There will be, and for some people, it's not going to be pretty. But he will do the judging, the excluding, not us. And that's a great blessing, because we are not very good at it, however you want to define the word good. Our job is to expose as many people as possible to Christ Jesus. How do you put that? To, as you go, make disciples of all nations. So let me leave you with this image of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, ideal versus reality. The ideal that we have in our mind, Pringles. Right?
Yeah,
Pringles.
Yeah.
Everyone the same. Isn't this great?
Everyone's the same.
Everyone fits. They stack. They organize. They all, you can even plant messages on them. Everything's really good with Pringles.
Pringles.
Except they're sort of looking artificial. And you know how they make them? They take normal potato chips, squash them, put them full of chemicals, and make them all back to the same mold. Great stuff, right?
Good stuff.
Nah, the reality. Kingdom of God on potato chips. Yeah, look at that. Potato chips are impossible to stack. Well, I guess I'm doing okay so far. Oh, yeah. They come in all shapes and sizes and degrees of, some of them are curled up, some of them are big bowl, some of them are already been crunched and crackled. And they make your hands greasy. There's the church where everything fits in and everybody can be. If you're not, this thing is not the law, then a Pringles can. Right?
Yeah.
Now, which do you want to be a part of? Trick question. Trick question.
Trick question.
How about we say there's room for both? Here's what I think. That we put it in to any spirit of exclusivity before it comes up. And that we find ourselves, as we embrace one another in Christ, that it's a lot like eating potato chips. Let's get started. Hard to stop. Amen.
Amen.
And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.